Welcome to TSN, the Reporters Podcast. I'm Dave Hodge with Bruce Arthur, Dave Naylor, and Steve Simmons, three reporters who will be in New Orleans for the Super Bowl 1 week from today. First question, why do we have to wait 2 weeks to play this game? Does it bother anybody else like it bothers me?
I've never understood that. I do at least accept the explanation, or at least the benefit, that these guys' bodies have been through an awful lot, and having an extra week probably helps. What used to happen when the 2 week gap was really popular is the better team would be by far the better team. And this was all during the 80s and into the 90s, is I think a part of the reason you got these blowouts is you had more time to maximize your efficiencies. I don't know if that's going to happen in this game, though.
The thing about it for the NFL is whether they play it in a week or play it in 2 weeks, they can't miss. It's the can't miss league. And as much as we might get frustrated by it, we wanted to see the momentum continue from a week or it doesn't matter. They can do whatever they want.
I think it goes when you get there and you see what it is and you see how big it is and you see you couldn't leave from Sunday, get there Monday, and be running to get going on Super Bowl. I don't believe you could do that with all the things that
except
go on
that, except that they've done it.
They have done it.
That's the only problem with your theory.
Yeah, but I think
those games used to be better than the ones that took a 2 week wait. But anyway, we won't worry about that.
Well,
before we talk about the teams that are in it, let's talk about the teams that aren't. And this is a constant source of curiosity these days in all sports, that New England and San Francisco had buys and were at home and couldn't win. And we're seeing this everywhere. Do we change our theory now and say that staying active is better than the perceived advantage of waiting to see who you play?
Well, I think right now it's four teams since 97 that were number one seeds have actually gone on to get to the Super Bowl. Football is the ultimate small sample sport, but you're getting to the point where you're seeing a sample size which is big enough to figure out that, you know what, maybe being number one isn't best. No one believed in Atlanta. No one believed that Atlanta was a Super Bowl team necessarily. They really had to prove it. And for a half, they proved it. New England is a more interesting case to me, actually. Because New England, for all the quality that their programs had, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004. And you thought that maybe this was going to be the year, and that's a team playing at home, a cold weather team, against a team that they had beaten the year before. New England, to me, is a fascinating source of, you can be great, but it's all about the day. And whether or not you get a bye, whether you do, I don't think that necessarily is enough.
I think so rarely we're seeing whatever you would consider the best team in the NFL the first 8 weeks of the season being the same as the second eight. Mm-hmm. And you can come up with different theories about what wins in the Super Bowl, but what seems to be winning right now is you have to have a lousy time in November and December. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Giants lost 5 out of 6. Yep. They won the Super Bowl. The Packers lost 3 out of 4. They won the Super Bowl. If you're picking the team this year, you want the Ravens because they lost 4 out of 5. I mean, it seems to be pushing through some sort of adversity late in the season is more important than having kind of run the table.
Yeah, I agree. I think the hot team is far more important than the home team.
But they don't get hot until the playoffs.
Until the playoffs. That's the thing.
But again,
it doesn't make any sense.
Go CFL, NFL. The Argos win the Grey Cup. They weren't the hot
lost
team.
Lost 4 out of 5 after Labor
all
Day.
All of a sudden, they got going. They win the Grey Cup. You pointed out the last two Super Bowl winners. Both teams were not the team going into the playoffs. And I think, again, we're going to see one this year. Although San Francisco, in some people's mind, was a pick right from the beginning of the year. But they had bumps in the road and the quarterback change.
Second last game of the season, they go to Seattle and they're completely outclassed. The week before, they beat New England. It seems like momentum can be generated out of nothing in the NFL. And once it starts, then it's hard even to say that it's momentum because it's a game-by-game-by-game thing. It's almost momentum in hindsight. But it's not something you can predict. When New Orleans won the Super Bowl, they were a 13-3 team. They lost 3 of their last 4 games. They were a 13-0 team before at one point. This is such a weird thing. Predicting the NFL is a great way to go bankrupt.
But, you know, Baltimore could well win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And Baltimore was a defensive back jump away from being eliminated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one play changes their fortunes.
49ers were one Atlanta first down away from not being there, too. But we were talking about the NFL being a head scratcher. But as I say, in every sport, CFL, first place teams, neither gets to the Grey Cup. Hockey, the LA Kings go on the road to start 4 series, win them all, and win the Stanley Cup. What happened to home ice advantage? The Tigers are waiting around for the Giants for the World Series to start, and the Tigers never lose the rust that apparently grew on them while they were doing that. World Junior, Canada, roars through the round robin, sits and waits and gets a bye and finds out who they play. Well, they're going to play the U.S. again. Mm-hmm. And they get trounced. And Canada wins Olympic gold in 2010 after being mediocre in the round robin and getting everybody to worry. It's just one example after another. So let's stop talking about the advantage of a bye.
Well, and in some ways about momentum, I mean, part of it, I don't think there's a unifying theory for this. But I think in terms of the regular season and the playoffs in every sport, there is such a difference in terms of health, in terms of hot streaks, in terms of who just happens to be good on the day. That makes a huge difference, especially in baseball, especially in hockey.
You know, there's two sides to this. A lot of people look at it and say, isn't this great? All you've got to do is get in and you can win. But that kind of diminishes the meaning of regular season success. And as these leagues, the National Football League being the latest, and hockey certainly coming into the conversation, have started to consider expanding the playoff pool, you know, I think the more you expand it and the more you invite that just get in kind of thing, it diminishes the significance of the season.
I've argued for a long time to make regular seasons more meaningful and give a greater reward for having an excellent regular season. I used to say, how about an extra home game?
Or a bye.
That means nothing.
The part of this that makes no sense at all in the large picture is that home field in football should be enormous.
Yeah.
Because of the sound, because of the inability to get calls in, because of all of the factors, you know, just trying to run an offense in that kind of noise. That should factor in considerably, but it hasn't the last few years.
And the one sport in which home court advantage and a great record in the regular season tends to weigh in is basketball. Basketball is, for good or for bad, a meritocracy. The best team wins, the best players win. But it doesn't seem to transfer over into other sports. I don't know if there's a lower luck factor in basketball. Because in hockey, it's puck luck, it's hot goalies, it's all of that. Baseball, it's a hot pitcher, it's where a hit bounces, it's all of that. Football is one game. But basketball seems to be immune from all this.
And the home court factor, I've never understood why it's so enormous there. I mean, you can watch the betting line on a series completely flip based on where they're playing.
Yep.
And I don't know why it matters more than it does in other sports.
Because it's WWE-like. It's predetermined.
Real quick, I'm going to guess that you agree that if there's one player who's going to determine up or down for his team in the Super Bowl, it's Colin Kaepernick. Do you like the 49ers because of him, or do you like the Ravens because Colin Kaepernick is basically a rookie? Quick judgment on Kaepernick in the Super Bowl.
I think he's the real thing. I really do. I think he presents problems that no other quarterback in the league presents other than maybe RG3. And I think that I'm not sure that Baltimore has enough speed at linebacker to hem him in, but we're going to find out.
The beauty of Kaepernick is he can beat you with his legs, or he can beat you with just the imagination of what his legs can do, like he did in the NFC Championship game. But there's some intangible that has me riding the Ravens on this one.
And he can still lose you a game, I think, because, he can run like few quarterbacks we've ever seen before, but his arm can be a little bit erratic, as we've seen at times. And I want to see him under pressure and under the right kind of pressure and see how he responds then.
Well, we'll do that. We'll see Colin Kaepernick under that pressure, but we'll have to wait a week. For better or worse. That's it for TSN, the reporters, and the podcast. Till next time, thanks for being with us.